Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
And today, as we continue in our service here, we're going to continue in our series through the book of Joshua. And today, specifically, we're jumping kind of to the end of the story. So this is a little bit of a spoiler alert. If you haven't caught up with the midpoint of Joshua, you're going to want to do that sometime. But today we're going to jump to the end, and as we do, there we're going to find Joshua gathering the children of Israel together, gathering the leaders together, and giving them what amounts to his farewell address. There he's having a conversation, he's encouraging, exhorting these people as he knows his days are coming to a close. He reminds them of God's faithfulness of the past. He's encouraging them on in the future, and he gives them the key to success or guidelines for the future in his in the Lord's kingdom. And right in the middle of this speech, we're going to unpack it in its entirety here in just a minute, but right in the middle, Joshua says something. He gives a command that has really stuck with me this week. And that comes in verse 8. It says, this would be Joshua speaking. He says, "But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done until now." Hold fast to the Lord. I mean, like, we could probably just stop there, pray, and go home. Thank you for not saying amen. Right? Like that's the heart of this thing. Man, hold fast to the Lord. This was the key to their past. It was how their relationship had gone before. It was why they had seen God do amazing things before, and it was the key to their future. He says, hold fast to the Lord. And it's really stuck with me this week because, yes, it's so simple, but really it's stuck with me because of a daggone TV commercial. And this is a commercial that's interrupted programs I was trying to watch, and I'm sure as soon as you see it, you're going to recognize it, but it's only fitting that it would interrupt our message here today. So I promise it's only a minute long, but let's watch this commercial and see if you recognize it.
Hi, Phil Swift here. This is Flex Superglue.
Mr. Swift.
Now you can fix your coffee cup or that pitcher of iced tea. It can mend a ceramic plate or your jewelry box, see? You can repair your pocketbook or your child's favorite toy. Replace the knob on that dresser drawer, or stick those numbers by the front door. And what's truly amazing, our Flex Super Glue is so strong that just one single drop, virtually welds itself to the surface. Check it out! That one single drop of Flex Super Glue can easily lift over 3 tons. Forget those old super glues. Get the new Flex Super Glue because it works.
Forget those old super glues. You see, when Joshua tells his people that they are to hold fast to the Lord, in the original language, in the Hebrew, if you translated that word literally, it means to be soldered or welded or glued. Flex seal. That's this idea. When Joshua, in his final words, man, he's trying to tell the people, he's trying to encourage them on in their life, in their relationship with the Lord, he says, man, be glued to the Lord. Be inseparable from him. Man, that's, when I say it stuck with me, I was serious, right? Sorry, that's terrible. But this idea of super glue, it can lift 6,000 pounds. It can also glue your fingers together in 6 seconds. And this is the image that he wants us to have. Man, as someone who has, in fact, glued their fingers together before, like, this is a powerful analogy. But how about you today? Not your super glue accidents, but What are you clinging to in life right now? What are you embracing? What would you say that you are stuck to like glue? And would that describe our relationship with the Lord? That's what Joshua wants. That's what he told his people. Man, today in Elkton, Virginia in 2024, would that describe us in our relationship with the Lord? Literally welded, soldered fast, super glued to the Lord. You see, in his final words, Joshua gives a pretty clear warning to his people. He gives a warning that being glued or fastened to the wrong thing will bring about a painful and miserable end to our lives. So what we're all wrapped up in today is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. So what are you wrapped up in today? We're on the home stretch of our teaching series through the book of Joshua. If you're just joining us, we've been working through some of the highlights of the book of Joshua and the story of God's people. And as we come to the end, we've studied the miracles and God's faithfulness and his power. And as we're coming to the end today and in the next message, the last two chapters of Joshua are really his last words, his farewell address. It's the last words of a dying man. Joshua, by this time chronologically, he's over 100 years old. He knows that his time to impart wisdom and impart influence over his people is coming to a close. And so he's giving them the last words, the last pieces of advice before he goes the way of the earth. And we're going to dive in today at chapter 23 of Joshua. If you're a YouVersion app user, there's a plan for today. You can use your Bible app or old-fashioned paper. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 23. We're going to begin at verse 1 and kind of read and unpack our way through this story. Before we dive in, let's just ask the Lord to bring his word to life in our hearts today. Would you bow with me? Lord, thanks for preserving Joshua's last words for us, that we can get to read and study and understand what he said thousands of years ago. God is a miracle. And so thank you today, Lord, for your word. And as your spirit indwelt and empowered Joshua to speak these things, Lord, as we read them, would you impart them to our hearts and our lives today? We want to hear you, and we want to know you. And so, Lord, would you speak to us today? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Joshua 23, verse 1 says, "After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all of their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all of Israel, their elders, their leaders, their judges, and officials, and he said to them," I am very old. What a way to begin a speech, right? I am very old. You see, chapter 23, we're taking a pretty good chronological jump from where we were last week. Scholars estimate somewhere around 20 to 25 years after they entered in, after the battles began, we come to this story, the final words of Joshua. And the battles are subsided for a moment. They have peace. They have rest. And Joshua appears as a very old man. He's got nothing left to lose, man. He's going to just speak his peace, impart encouragement and wisdom in his final moments. And he's really pouring out his heart. And so what we're studying today are the passionate pleas, the desires of his heart for God's people. And that's really what we're continuing in today. So let's continue in verse 3 as we now set the scene. Joshua speaking, it says, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God has promised you." So Joshua's beginning here, he's remembering and reflecting on all that God has done for his people in fulfilling his promises to give them the inheritance land, right? Like we studied some of these things. He held back the waters of the Jordan. He conquered and crumbled the fortified walls of Jericho. He caused the sun to stand still in the sky. Like God has done these things for his people. And Joshua's calling those to memory in this speech. And so the people have witnessed God's mighty power. They've seen what he can do for them. And Joshua is encouraging them, focusing them, calling, remember, it was the Lord. And Joshua remembers, he reflects his own leadership. He's calling on his own authority there, but yet he's still giving glory to God as the chief mover, the chief power of who has accomplished these great things. And as we get to verse 5, we kind of get a glimpse of some details in the background of the story. It says that God was still going to drive out more people, that yes, they had rest in the land in this moment, but they still had more work to do. They still had more work to do. The Canaanites, the enemy nations, were still living in some of the farther regions of the promised land at this time. But in this speech, Joshua says, look, guys, just as God has fought for you in the past, he's going to fight for you in the future. You don't need to worry about them. Just be faithful. Be faithful. And that's really where his next speech, the next part goes. He says in verse 6, be very strong. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. He says, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. Verse 8, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. The language here is reminiscent of God's commissioning of Joshua, right? If you were with us early in the study, when Joshua was installed as Israel's leader, God told him, be strong and courageous. And so here in the end of his days, we see him passing that baton on to future generations. Be strong, be careful to obey, live a life of obedience to the word of the Lord. They were to keep themselves free from the influence of the other nations around them. Maybe you've heard the old saying, bad company corrupts good morals. That's kind of this idea. You see, they're to keep a distance. This idea, God says, look, don't go there. Don't embody, don't embrace their values. They will corrupt you and lead you away from me. He doesn't want them to use the names of their gods to bring that into their daily life. He says, don't serve and don't bow down. Don't give yourself to what they say is important. Don't go there. Rather than being associated and wrapped up in the other nations, the people are to hold fast to the Lord. And that, like I said earlier, that hold fast idea can literally carry the idea of two objects being soldered or welded or glued together. Relationally, that would speak of loyalty. It would speak of loyalty and fidelity. It speaks of remaining close in a tight embrace to hold on. That's what Joshua's calling his people to. This imagery of hold fast, it kind of reminds me, when I'm at the Harrisonburg campus working throughout the week, our daughter goes to daycare there, and every now and then I'll be walking through the hallways to go to a meeting or get something, and we'll meet eyes, like they'll be, her class will be walking through the hallway or something, and when she sees me, man, she kind of freezes. And then she'll look around to the teacher trying to gain permission, because when you're four, you can't just break out a line, like that's a big deal. And so the teacher will kind of give her a nod, man, and she'll take off. And we end in this embrace where, man, her little arms just squeezing as hard as they can squeeze. It's because her mom's not around. But don't ruin it, okay? But, man, that embrace, those little arms, her just pouring herself into hugging her father, that's this image. That's what Joshua wants his people to think about. As you look ahead, think about just embracing your heavenly Father with all your might. Just squeeze on him. That's this. That's this. Man, what a beautiful image, right? And Joshua, man, he wants to give them props. Right? He says, embrace the Lord as you have until now. You see, the people of God, man, they had been doing it. They had been embracing and trusting. Yeah, they made their mistakes, but man, God was moving. They were embracing him. And Joshua says, look, as you've done that, keep going. Keep going. He says in verse 9, he says, the Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one's been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. You see, the people had been embracing the Lord. And Joshua is calling to mind the fruit of that relationship. Guys, if you want to see how it looks to embrace the Lord, how it's going to go, just remember what he's done for you. Remember how he's fought for you. He's given you identity as his children. He's brought you into a land that you did not own or inhabit, but you are here to inhabit it. You're his kids. God's given you power. Embrace him. This is a picture of life holding on to the Lord. And like so far in this speech, you'd be like, okay, man, this is encouraging, man. This is good news. What a great farewell speech. It's a reminder of life with the Lord. Everything that Joshua's instructed them really comes down to that simple truth, man. Be careful to love the Lord your God. And we would come to this and go, all right, seems simple enough, right? Why don't we just do that? Why don't we? Why don't we? You see, it's never that simple, is it? It's not today, and it certainly wasn't then. So Joshua's painted this picture of what embracing the Lord is like. What happens if they don't? What happens if they let go? That's where Joshua shares. Let's find out in verse 12. He says, but. There's always a but, right? But. If you turn away. If you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure. You may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they're going to become snares and traps for you, whips for your back, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. What a contrast, right? What a contrast. Rather than the promise of God's presence and his power, his plan and blessing over their lives, if the people turned away from him, man, it's not going to go well. Just as sure as God's promises are in relationship, so are the consequences of turning away from him. Listen to some of the imagery that Joshua gives in this moment. If you turn away from the Lord, if you don't cling to him, if you don't embrace him and you go and get wrapped up in the world, they will become a snare for you. This is the idea of being entangled, confined, controlled, held captive by circumstances. That's this idea. It will be a trap for you, literally, to take the bait, to hear the mousetrap close. Caught. Stuck. He says they will be a whip on your back. Man, that's the imagery of scourging. Yes, Good Friday, Jesus scourging Paul's lashes. That's the imagery. That's life wrapped up in the world. He says, there's going to be a thorn in your eye. I'm man enough to admit today that an eyelash stops me in my tracks. And they're saying, Joshua's saying, look, if you go that way, there's going to be a thorn in your eye. And that misery, that imagery is their path until. Like, that word is huge to me in this verse. Until. That's the path until they perish from the land that God had given them. All that God had done for them, all the miracles, all the mighty things he had done, all of that they would forfeit. They would let go of and turn their back on if they would forsake the Lord. And there's a fascinating detail here in this text that I just can't get past. In verse 8, Joshua told the people to hold fast to the Lord. That's this flex seal idea, right? Hold fast, man. Be loyal. Embrace. Glued to the Lord. When you come to verse 12, it is the exact same word he uses about being allied to the world. It's the same word. Don't be glued, wrapped up. Don't be embraced. Don't be loyal to those nations. And what stood out to me is that, man, Joshua just lays it out there. It's black and white. How it went for them after Joshua was gone would be their choice. And they could embrace the Lord, they could know his power and his presence, or they could get wrapped up in the world in pain and misery until the end. The choice is yours. If we zoom out of Joshua for a little bit, let's take some chronological jumps together. Forward. If you follow the story of God's people after Joshua, you get into the book of Judges even. You don't go far until you see them making this very choice. The choice that Joshua said, don't do it. They did it. They began to intermarry with the people that were still in the land. Man, they took up their values. They took on their morals. They began to worship their gods. And just like Joshua said, they become trapped, enslaved. They suffered immensely until finally, if you take another couple hundred year jump after Joshua, they are completely removed from the land that God had given them. The Babylonian and the Assyrian Empire completely removed them from their land. Everything that Joshua said came true. You see, they had a choice to make. And rather than choosing to embrace the Lord, they got wrapped up in the world and it cost them everything. And the simplicity and clarity of this message is striking to me. Joshua doesn't hold back. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He says, you got a choice. You got a choice. Man, you can embrace the Lord, throw in yourself on him. You can be loyal to him and find life. Or you can get wrapped up in the world and be sure of the consequences that are coming. And friends, as clear as this is and was in the days of Joshua, we have the same choice today. We have the same choice. As Christians, our inheritance is different. I got that. We have a great inheritance in Christ Jesus, salvation by grace through faith in him. Man, we can know eternal life, forgiveness of sin, God's presence within us and going before us. Man, we can throw ourselves into that relationship and we can find so much life. Or we have the choice to embrace the world. To get all wrapped up in the morals and the values of our culture and our world around us. And we can become trapped, snared, beat down and miserable on a pathway to destruction. You and I have a choice. What are we going to embrace? What are we going to embrace? As I was working on this week, I found an image that I just can't get beyond. Because it's this in a picture. Maybe Joshua 23 would look like this. What are you embracing? Right? What are we giving ourselves to? Happiness this way. Man, maybe rather than embracing the Lord, we've thrown ourselves into the pursuit of money. Man, we've bought into this narrative. We've bought into this belief that if happiness will come if we just get that next 100. Joshua says it's going to be a trap for you, a snare, a thorn in your eye. Man, pull the 100 out and put in a new iPhone. Put in a new boat. I'll call me out. But we pursue and we embrace and the trap closes. What about this one? Maybe we believe that what we really need to be happy, what our life pursuit is, what our highest value becomes is finding the right relationship. Man, we sink so much in finding the one, don't we? Oh, if I can just find that one person, man, they'll complete me, they'll make me so happy, it'll be life happily ever after. It's a trap. Because you see, there's no person, there's no relationship outside of our relationship with Jesus that can bear the weight of our humanity and our needs. And so when we believe that, when we come all wrapped up in that narrative, it's a trap. What about this one? This one got me. You see, instead of a trophy there, I was never an athlete, so that didn't apply. But put the American dream there. Let's get close to home. What's the American dream say? Nice house, 2-car garage, white picket fence. Have all that. It's fine. But my mistake was that I thought that was the ultimate end of life. Like, I didn't need Jesus to find fulfillment, to be happy. I if I could just get those couple things nailed down, I had it. You know what that is? A trap. Because it's never enough. It's never enough. Man, it could be influence. It could be how many followers we have on this or that platform. Man, it can be so many things. It can even be good things. Look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with making money, with having new boats, with having big houses. None of that held in the right context, you see. The trap comes when we begin to think that's the source of our life and our happiness and joy, that's our highest end is that pursuit. That's when the trap closes. That's what Joshua was warning his people. It stands true for us today. As the band makes their way up, what are you stuck to today? What are those things in your life that dictate your time, your mental and emotional availability? Like, what are those things that, man, if we're honest, like, they're driving our life? What are those things? What are those things that we are constantly giving ourselves over to? What are the things that we feel stuck in? That maybe aren't providing the life we thought they would. What's got your focus? Your loyalty? The New Testament, it carries this idea forward. James, in his letter, he's pretty blunt. He says this in chapter 4. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the Lord means enmity against God?" Man, that's straight out of Joshua's playbook, right? Man, to be friendship with the world and all wrapped up with its values means that it's enmity, it's hostility against God. We have a choice. We have a choice. What are you embracing today? What are you stuck to? What are you worshiping? James a little bit later. Verse 7, he says, submit yourselves then to God. You say, well, Pastor, what do we do? If you're here today and you say, man, Pastor, I feel stuck. Like, I feel like I'm wrapped up in this. James says, submit yourself then to God. You know what that is? That's getting a glimpse of your Heavenly Father in the hallway. And not asking the teacher for permission to run, but just going and embracing him. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Friends, as you reach out to embrace your Heavenly Father, he's embracing you. He's embracing you. What are you embracing today? What are you embracing? I love the words of Jesus. He says in John, you see this idea of being glued, that's kind of an exterior thing, right? Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. You say, Pastor, what's the hope for today? This is a tough word. I know. The hope for you and I is to be so wrapped up in Jesus that he literally indwells us and we in him. That is mo better than Flex Seal, folks. That's intimacy. And that's what I want. How about you? Let's pray together. Lord, thanks for your word today. Lord, I'm sorry for the places in my life and in my story where I have embraced the world. Lord, the pain that caused you, pain that caused others, Lord. I'm a debtor to your forgiveness today. Lord, I don't always know that we know when we've embraced the world. I don't think we just wake up one day and just say, yep, gonna embrace it all. I think it starts small. So Lord, today, if there's any of those small beginnings or something has grown outside of our awareness today, Lord, would you reveal that? Lord, if we're stuck to something else besides you today, if something in our lives has grown beyond its healthy place, Lord, would you show us? Would you convince us? Yes, God, convict us. That we might lay that at your feet. We've sung a lot about surrender today, but that we might lay that down. And at laying that down, embrace you. And God, I don't want to be stuck to the outside. I want to take you up on your words through Jesus, that we might be in you and you in us. That sounds way, way better than Flex Seal to me. And so, Lord, would that be true in us today? All wrapped up in you. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Let's worship together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.